was a night. Ooh, what a night it was. It really was such a night.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. In 1982, the world met Margarita Luisa Chascarillo, a.k.a. Maggie, and Esperanza Leticia Glass, a.k.a. Hopi. And they were two central characters to a series of comic books called Love and Rockets.
Now, Love and Rockets was created by Jaime and Gilbert Hernandez, two brothers from Oxnard, California, who were part of a movement in the 1980s in which comic books changed from kiddie to intellectual.
Some characters were gay, some lived in Southern California, others in a fictional Central American village called Palomar. And punk rock played a really important role in their lives.
And today we get to hang out with Jaime and Gilbert and their long list of characters, listening to some punk rock and other musical choices they brought in. Guys, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Ooh, what a night it was. It really was such a night. Came the dawn and my heart in love and the night.
So I never thought we were ever going to play Elvis on this show.
Why choose this song? Why'd you guys bring this one in?
I brought that one in just because Elvis is the man. Elvis started it all, at least for, you know, what rock and roll is going to be. And when he sings, especially in this song, all others must go home because he's doing it right. He's the first guy, and he's still doing it right. That's how I see him.
And Jaime, was Elvis part of the soundtrack to your childhood?
Sure. Mostly when I got older and started, exploring music myself. But as a kid, Elvis was there. You know, he was in movies. He was on the radio and stuff like that. It was kind of like, you know, Santa Claus. You know, he existed
the older
in a
role.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to fall in love. While she's gone, yes, she's gone. Came the dawn, and my love was gone. But before that dawn, yes, before that dawn, and before that dawn,
talk to us about Oxnard. Both Felix and I are from California. Felix is from Fresno, and I'm from kind of all over California by way of Argentina.
Oxnard's a town, you know, about an hour outside of L.A., like a lot of towns outside of L.A. It's an agricultural town, you know. It was formed when they built a sugar beet factory, you know, And of course, when you got agriculture and all that stuff and packing houses and stuff like that, you know, you bring Mexicans.
Oxnard sort of reminded me, when I visited back in the late 70s when I was going to Fresno State, it always reminded me of Fresno with a beach, you know?
Yeah.
In that, you know, it's right on the ocean. It's a beautiful area, beautiful part of the coast. But again, the very rural, very agricultural and working class roots of the Latino in this place, the Chicano community there. And I'm wondering, is that that farm worker background, is that what drew your family there? Did you have people who worked in the fields and stuff, in the packing houses?
Yeah.
Our mom worked in the packing house just as a job. And our dad came from Mexico to look for work, and they happened to meet in a movie theater, and the rest is history.
You know, mom came from Texas. You know, they just ended up there.
Actually, speaking of your mom, we did want to ask, because I know she's an influence on your music and your comic books. What did she listen to, and how did you guys react? Did you think it was corny, or did you think it was cool?
This is very interesting. The reason we listen to rock and roll and are into comics is because of her. When Jaime was born, she was in the hospital, and my mother was in the bed next to another girl who had a teenage girl who was having a baby, and she had a transistor radio on all the time, and it was just on all the time. And my mom started to get into the music. This is like 1959, you were born? Yeah.
Does she remember what songs?
Whatever was around 1959. I don't know, just, you know, early rock and roll, like Elvis, and, you know, maybe a lot of ballad songs. But she liked the kind of music, and when she came home, brought Jaime home, she had the radio on all day because our dad, you know, he worked at night, so we'd sleep in the day, so we'd have, you know, the radio on all day. So that just, but that happened for years. I mean, it was just on all the time. And we just got into, learned to like music that way. And then once, you know, the 60s came around, music started to get more important and more ambitious. And by the summer of 1964 is when it rock and roll and pop became what it is today. Pretty much started there. You had bands like the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Supremes and the Kinks and all these bands, the Shangri-Las, and they were just putting out their best stuff that was just getting going. And it was just, you didn't even have to change the radio. You just turned it up and it was just one after the other. And that's influenced us quite a bit because that's how we listen to music now.
You listen to the radio?
No, just they call them mixtapes now.
For your mixtape, you brought in Contact High by a very 1960s sounding Ike and Tina Turner.
That's funny, Felix, because that's, you have a similar story. You came into music, your mom, listening to transistor radio, but according to you, you would always switch the station.
Well, it was very different in that, my mom was listening to rancheras and mariachi, you know, Mexican music in the morning, and, you know, I was like 69, I was 10, 11 years old, and that's when, you know, the Jackson 5 was really big, man,
yeah.
You know, and the school that I was going to, and it was... We would get up, change the station to the pop top 40 station and listen to all that pop music. But it was, you know, that music was there. Later on, as a way of rebelling, you know, I sort of rebelled against that music and even got into rock and even more different forms of music. But, you know, stuff that I thought was cool. But it sounds like your mom was already playing cool music. Man, how did you guys rebel against something that cool?
We didn't have to. As far as the music goes, it was good. We didn't start rebelling until we were teenagers, actually, with music. Because in the late 60s, that's when our dad died, and my mom stopped listening to the radio, because the music was changing, too, just coincidentally. It was becoming more...
Yeah, she was afraid of hippies because, you know, they did drugs and stuff like that.
And that's when the music separated, is the AM radio, the pop music started getting bland, and then all this, the experimental music was going to FM radio, which we didn't listen to, you know, yet. So we just stopped listening to the radio, and there's this whole gap of music we just from the radio that we don't really know too much about. We're catching up on it, you know, later, but... And then, of course, we're like, yeah, listen to the loudest, fastest music you can find.
Well, your mom also read comic books, and I'm wondering what comic books she read, and were comic books back in those times very popular among women and among Mexican American women, or?
I don't think so. You know, she read comics, and very few people she knew. Did, you know, or maybe nobody she knew. She was like alone, I guess. I mean, she's never really talked about sharing her comics when she was growing up. But, you know, she grew up with the 40s and 50s, you know, Captain Marvel, The Spirit, Black Hawk, Superman, you know, all the stuff that was hip in the day, you know.
Your mom sounds awesome. I mean, I just want to hang out with your mom. Yeah. Can she come join us on Out Latino Living?
She's too nervous.
Now, I read somewhere that you guys, one of you said that it was punk music that made you feel like you could make a comic book. Like, it made you cocky, kind of. What punk music? What was that?
Gilbert was going, he had some friends that invited him to punk shows in L.A. We were... already had a few records, Ramones records and things like that, but I remember he went to a show and he came back and he told me we got to go to these shows, you know. They're not in stadiums like the bands we see, you know, Kiss concerts or something like that. This was like little clubs, and the band hung out with the crowd, and that was like unheard of to us, you know, because we were just small town going to see big venue concerts. And at first going to see like an English band, but then an LA band would open up. And we started following the LA bands.
You know, in one interview that I read, it was one of the writers referred to the surreal experience of Chicanos and punk. But you know, that wasn't so surreal. That was very real. The whole Chicano punk movement that sort of grew out of that or coincided with that in the early 80s. You know, can you talk a little bit about some of the bands that you used to see from the Chicano punk movement?
Yeah, we'd see the Plugs, like the Zeros. You know, who else?
The Stains.
The Stains was one. It was cool because, you know, the L.A. punk scene first started in Hollywood, and all these people from bordering towns, you know, would come and enjoy the music, and, you know, from East L.A. and stuff like that. And you find out they had bands too, you know, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So it was this cool mixture, you know, and I thought it was just pretty cool, like Latino rock. Punk, you know?
Yeah. You know? Okay, here's one of those bands you mentioned, The Plugs, and that featured the guitarist Tito Larriva, and this is their song, Mindless Containment. When I was living in Fresno, and I would hear about bands like Los Illegals and, you know, the Plugs and all that, and it was always fascinating to me. I wasn't into punk music, but I was really into the Chicano punk thing just to see how they expressed that aesthetic and just what they did with it. And I wonder what happened to that. You know, what happened to that? All of those bands, those scenes, those musicians.
It's just like everybody else. They just get older and decide, well, now I need a job. You know, because unless you make it, you know, it's a hobby till then, you know. And even if you have a great following and, you know, you're working hard and, you know, your music is might be, you know, completely original, it's still, after a while, you just start to think about reality. You know?
Sure.
That's my guess. I don't know.
That's reflected in one of the characters from Love and Rockets, where it started out as a punk musician, and then things change and she gets older and things develop. Can you talk a little bit about that character and how that developed?
Are you talking about Terry? I was just following how punks end up, you know, like, you know, start out in punk bands, they play really raw stuff, and then somebody happens to be more trained in playing,
right.
And they
sure.
have, and then they start to get other interests, you know, after punk, and then you know, they get into country or they get into folk or
right.
you know
yeah.
or rockabilly or stuff like that, mm-hmm. and so I was just using that the character Terry was in this band with Hopi and these other people, yet she had an eye for outside of it, you know, like she was trained just to be a musician. And so punk, after the punk thing kind of, everyone started getting old, she kind of moved on to other things while everyone else went back to partying or just quit sure. being in the band. Sure. Because they were in bands because it was fun to be in a band, you know, but she had the, she was looking for something else, you know.
I want to take you back to comic books, though. Dominican-American author Juno Diaz, we had him on the show recently, and he's a big fan of yours, from what I understand.
Smart man.
he has a quote in which he said, "You really want to know what being an X-Man feels like? Just be a smart, bookish boy of color in a contemporary U.S. ghetto. Mamma mia, it's like having bat wings or a pair of tentacles growing out of your chest." Loving comic books. Did that, and being Chicano, did that affect each other's experiences in any way?
Yeah, especially for the lack of it in comic books before us. Yeah, you have comic books from Mexico and from Spain and places like that in South America. But in America, that just was completely ignored, even though a lot of Latinos read comic books. This is a funny side that most Latinos read Tarzan comics, but not superhero comics. Because something about, I don't know, the exotic nature of it, the jungle, the, you know, the wild man, I don't know what it was, but I noticed that was preferred to superheroes. The superheroes came in later when comic books got more popular with the Marvel comics.
What else did you bring to share with us today?
Let's see, Jaime, what about something from your list?
Which one should I? let's start, clap your hands, say yeah. So I'm an old guy now. You know, I'm not so hip on what the kids are listening to or something like that. But once in a while, once every 5 years, a band comes and catches my ear and I fall in love with them. And then someone will say, "Oh, you like that band? Do you like this band too?" And I go, "No, I never heard of them." You know, and clap your hands, say, "Yeah, it was just one of those bands that I fell in love with and, you know, buy all their records and stuff like that. But I don't listen to anything else around it, you know."
Not bad.
So much of your writing and your work involves music of some kind or another. Do you guys listen to music while you're working?
I do a lot less because as my work has evolved the way I work, now I'm doing a lot of writing and drawing at the same time. I used to be able to just write it and letter it and then fill the pictures in. And then I could listen to music when I wasn't writing, you know, when I was just drawing. Now I'm doing both, so it's not till I ink the drawings in the end that I go, "Oh boy, now I can listen to music," and then I put headphones on and I just let a record go, you know, while I'm inking. I go on autopilot kind of thing. Mm. But when I'm writing, everything's got to be quiet, you know, turned off, the TV, the music, all that stuff.
I don't often listen to music because there's not a radio station I like, so when I put on a record that, you know, a disc that, you know, used to be an album, it only lasts, you know, 40 minutes. So by the time you put the ink down, it's over. So I'm almost constantly changing music. I try to listen to music when I can, but like I said, albums are too short. Old albums. Now CDs are longer, but...
We're going to have to get you a link to the Alt Latino stream. So you can check out the...
That's good.
Gilbert, what else did you bring?
The music?
Yeah.
I brought the token English band, T-Rex, Mambo Sun. Heavy, heavy influence on us.
Beneath the bebop moon, I want to croon with you. Beneath the Mambo Sun, I got to be the one with you.
Hey Gilbert, why that one? What is?
In a way, T-Rex led us to punk rock. In a way, on the radio, Mark Bullen from T-Rex had a song, "Bang a Gong, Get It On," and we all heard that song. But I never thought what the rest of his music sounded like. And so my older brother Mario, he stumbled upon one of his albums and he put it on because he said, "Oh, I heard that this was a good record." We put it on. We thought, this is ridiculous. What kind of music is this? Because we were more into, like, you know, sophisticated music. He was listening to Santana and the Allman Brothers and, you know, and I guess I was listening to Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer and that kind of thing. But we heard this. We go, this is so primitive and stuff, but it was engaging, you know.
Right.
At first, we thought it was silly. You know, this is silly, but it's kind of engaging. And, like, a week later, we went out and bought his other records. We started buying other bands that were like him. I got into David Bowie and Mott the Hoople and bands like that. There was the glam scene in those days. And instantly we related to that. Like, that's what we're about. This is, you know, forget that all, you know, the other, you know, serious school of rock. We were into just having fun. Like, it was like being kids again. It's just so different from what Americans were looking for. I found out later that Americans just like serious music. It's got to be serious. It can't be goofy or whatever, you know. And that kind of spoiled rock and roll in America for a lot of us. So a lot of us had to break away from that because we wanted to hear different kinds of music. So when punk came along, starting with Patti Smith in 1975, and then you'd have the Ramones in 76, you know, there's no turning back. I go, this is that same kind of music. And this was punk rock. But there was only a few bands that did that. Very few. And then in 77, it was all over. There was just the Sex Pistols, the Clash, and all these bands. And so our link to getting into punk, the sound of the music, was probably started with T-Rex.
No, and on that experimental note, I mean, you talked about your comic books just kind of incorporating whatever you guys were interested in, that being, like, just really all over the place. And how did people react to your comic books initially, and has your audience changed since you first came out?
Ooh, well, it's bigger now.
And they have more money too.
But I don't know. I think the people who liked our comics were also looking for something else besides the Marvel and the DC stuff that you were getting. So, and we just happened to be there. And they said, that's what I want. You know, it's like they were looking for it. It's almost like searching for music. You know, like, I know there's something, but this is not it. You know, and then you hear that one thing, like you said, T-Rex, and you just said, okay, I'm here. I've arrived, you know.
It's always been interesting to me that your work as well, it just happens to be about Chicano characters, because you came about when, like I like to say, the comics went from ICS to IX, you know, where just on the tail end of the underground scene. And think the themes, the ideas, that they changed and actually progressed in a big way. You guys were pioneers in moving that forward. And like I said, your characters just happen to be about Chicanos.
Yeah, and we treated it like it was natural. You know, they're Chicanos, so what? You know, I know these people, you know, I've known these people all my life, you know, so you should too. You know, kind of, don't make this a Chicano comic. This is a comic, they're just seen from my point of view.
Did you ever wonder, I mean, seeing how you were saying that maybe comic books weren't so popular among Latinos, like, who's going to read this? Did that ever enter your mind?
We're desperate for anybody to read it.
Yeah. take whatever we could get, you know. And it came from just the cockiness of punk, that punk taught us that, like, well, we know this is good, and you know this is good, you know, and if you tell us this is not good, we're just going to do it more, you know, because I know I've got something here that's legitimate, that's just as good as your thing, you know. Before punk, there was the whole lowrider thing, you know,
sure.
And I go, oh, I'd love to see that in comics. Who's where am I going to buy that? Oh, I guess I have to do it.
You know? Yeah, right.
Okay, Jaime, here's a punk classic you brought in. This is 2 Plus 2 by DOA. I've always wondered if, over the years, your girlfriends and now your wives, have they ever been jealous of any of your characters, like Luba or Maggie and Hopi? Has that ever come up?
Hints of it, like, especially Luba, because she's so obvious that the reaction was more like, why do you have to draw that way? Why, you know?
Well, just for listeners who don't know, Luba is top heavy.
She's very top heavy, but she's a Sophia Loren type. She's just a real force of nature, and I started working with that character because I noticed the reactions of, well, you know, this is a fantasy character, and she's, you know, this and that, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, you know what? I don't believe that, because I've met women like that, and they weren't fantasy characters. They're people. And so I put a person in that character. And since I used the part of her not being taken seriously as a drawing, as being not taken seriously as a person within the stories. So I put that in that, you know, and it worked because she became my most popular character, despite the initial reaction of looking at her. She's still my most popular character.
So Luba is a character on the comic book Palomar, mm-hmm. which is about a fictional Central American village. And I it's been praised to no end, this book. It's been called a magical realist take on novelas, and it's how did you come about picking a Central American village and deciding to zoom in on that?
Long story short, I just developed a small Latin American town. That way I can make it as simple as possible. I wanted to start out as simple as possible. The characters dress simply, they live simply, it looks simple, and then I'll start a series with that. I wasn't sure where, you know, if that was going to be successful, where it was going to go, but that was my goal, just to, I'll use these images and this setting for self-expression. The other half of Love and Rockets had to be as good as the other, you know, and that was just, you know, because we're responsible now. People are looking at us now, and I thought, well, I better do my work, you know?
No, and it's great because even in the world of Latin American comic books, Central America isn't really represented. I mean, you mm-hmm. get a lot of books out of Mexico, a lot about Chile, Argentina, Brazil, but you don't really get a lot of Central American comic books. So have you been to Central America? I mean, do you get inspiration from going there?
No, here's where the writer comes in. I've been to Mexico two or three times, and that's about it, you know, and it was more of a tourist thing. The trick was to give it a feel of this place that really exists, even if, you know, it's a fantasy and it doesn't represent one particular culture. You know, it's all Latino cultures, even though they live part desert, part jungle, part beach, you know. That was important to me, to just do a place where everybody can project, you know, where, oh, this is like how, this is my like my uncle, oh, this is like the street I used to live on. And it could be somebody from the Dominican Republic or Cuba or anywhere, you know. Luckily, that worked out, because I would get letters from all over, from different countries like that, saying, oh, this is just like the town my dad grew up in and whatever.
What does your mom think of your comic book career, since she was such a huge influence?
She's just happy we found jobs.
I mean, oh no, it's too violent.
No, she stopped reading it years ago because it was too racy for her. She's just proud that we found something that we loved and that we continued with and made our lives with. You know, she was just hoping we were not going to end up on the street, you know.
What do you guys want to go out on?
How about Los Tigres?
Ooh, there you go. But okay, so tell us about this song. This is La Puerta Negra, The Black Door.
Okay, it's a funny story because I knew about Los Tigres, you know, walking down the street and there's a party going on and they're playing the music or whatever. But this particular song, I would watch Lucha Libre on TV, you know, and after a while, the wrestlers would come out with their own music. And one guy would come out with Motley Crue, you know, playing because he was the heavy metal luchador. But there was this guy, Blue Panther, who when before he came out, they would just start blasting this song and the audience would go nuts, you know, and he would come out and I used to, since I'd watch it every week, I would hear this song and I started to like it a lot and like it. And while I didn't buy their records or anything, I always liked that song just because of that. And also because it just represents, you know, the neighborhoods I live in, you know, wherever I move. There's always a party down the street and you hear the music blasting. And it's just I have a fondness for that.
Ya está cerrada con tres candados.
Gilbert and Jaime Hernandez, thank you very much for joining us, man. This has been a personal pleasure of mine, believe me.
Thank you. I want to remind our listeners that you can listen to every single song we've played on today's show in its entirety on our website, npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can also check us out, every song we've played on the show, 24/7, on Alt Latino Radio. That's npr.org/altlatinoradio.
I'm Jasmine Garth.
And I'm Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.